traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
It's Prince Royce, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
Were you stoked to make a music video with J-Lo?
Hell yeah. I was like, let's go. Back it up now.
People who are true bachata fans say that my bachata is not real bachata.
Who are these bachata Karens that are like at their house like, was that a ukulele? No, f-
Sometimes I go to Latin America and they'll be like, you're a gringo or whatever. And
I'm like, they call you a gringo?
Yeah, they be calling me.
What would that make
what
us?
They call me?
I would like to run Japan. I've never been to Japan.
I've never been cousin. There either. Have you?
Oh! I think I got it.
When I was in high school, we had like 3 rules that we lived by, me and Mac, who was actually the third co-host on the show. 3 rules that we live by. Number one.
Before you bullied him off.
Number one, most important, never send a dick pic. Uh-huh. Number 2, don't use Sprint. That was rule number 2. And number 3, avoid hemorrhoids at all costs.
Bro, yo, that's a private topic, dude. You're not going to bring up my butthole to start this episode, all right? Not an important bachata episode.
Yo, are I don't you even saying it right. Is he saying it right? Bachata.
No, bachata. Like, say it a little quicker. Like, bachata.
Bachata.
Say it like you mean it.
Bachata.
Put your hip into it when you say it.
Bachata. There you go. Nice. All right. Yeah. It's Latin week. It's Latin week for Impulsive. We got the biggest Latin stars in the world. They're joining us today. We don't know why.
That's a good point.
We don't know why. Because we're gringos.
You really got to think about it for a second. Latin music, the entire Latin space, has been blowing up. Blowing up. Massive. The number 4 biggest music genre right now.
I know.
After 3 others. Because that's how numbers work.
It just passed country. It just...
Because I didn't have the info.
You're right. It just passed country music as a bigger music
genre. Do you think country's having a downslide? Like sliding down a little bit? Kevin shaking his head, yes. Like not as many cowboys as usual?
I think the cowboys are on the decline. What's up, Prince Royce?
Bro, there's no way he looks that good.
Yeah, he looks good. Yo, quick shout out to Moreplay Academy and Rich Music here in Miami. We're in Miami.
Music studios, basketball hoops, bathrooms, billiards tables, and washrooms. Dude, none of our shirts are ironed. Name an Ozzy Osbourne song.
I feel... I can't. I just wear what
You're
my stylist...
You're like one of those kids that wears a Nirvana tee, bro.
Wear what my stylist tells me to wear.
It's a cool shirt.
Whatever. Dude, at least I'm wearing a different shirt from the last episode. If you look at this episode and then go back to the Nicki Jam episode... He's wearing the same shirt.
I haven't slept. I got off an economy flight.
Were you in the aisle? I
was in the aisle. Dave was in the middle seat from 8:30 p.m. to 4:30 a.m., dude. Oh,
that sucks. Well, we did make our way out here to Miami for these Latin gods. Welcome back to Impulsive, the number one podcast in the world. Thank you guys for listening, watching, viewing, and subscribing. We got the number 2 in the house. The number 2 of the day. I mean, not ranking, because that's how numbers work. let's bring him on. Ladies and gentlemen, he's one of the biggest Latin artists in the world. He's from the Bronx. He's the king of bachata. It's Prince Royce, yes. Ladies and gentlemen.
Yes. Wow, a lot of energy on set today.
What's good?
What's up, brother?
I'm good, man. Should I put this on or don't matter?
You can if you want. We like the headphones.
It gives it the vibe. 100%.
It makes you feel like podcasty, you know?
Okay. This might be my first podcast, actually. Is it my first podcast?
How do you feel about it? Do you feel comfortable or like all right off the bat?
Yeah, I'm pretty chill. I'm pretty chill.
Some people come on and they're like, dude, we were intimidated to do this. You know, Logan's a winning boxer, and you know, like,
take off his mouthpiece right
there. Ew, bro. Oh, there was so much.
But those are
I was able to like twirl it up.
Those are
Invisalign.
Invisalign.
Yeah. If you want to talk about it, I'm down, but I will be sending an invoice to Invisalign for both of us.
No. Yo, Invisalign, holler at me. Send me. I'll do it for 100K. But I don't think, I'm pretty chill, but
sometimes you have your doubts, like, what are we going to talk about?
Well, we don't know. We're hoping you knew.
What do you want to talk
about,
gringos, man?
For real?
Yeah. No, we can do a little of that. We had Nicky Jam on today.
Oh, dope.
Yeah, earlier he was giving you your flowers, but he also said that you're you're a little shy, bro. That's what he said.
I've always been a shy person. I feel like even in school, I think like the music thing sometimes gets you out of your because you end up having to talk to the camera, talk to people.
You have to.
But I'm still like. Like, if you go on my Instagram, I'm not this. I look at people like uploading mass stuff. Yo, I'm here. And I'll be like, bro, I wish I could be like that. And I'm just not like that, you know?
Is it because you're more introverted or is it because you are intentionally keeping your life private?
I think I've just always been introverted. And I think I'm a little antisocial as well. People say I'm not because they think like, oh, but you mad cool. And I don't know. I'm just a homebody. Like, I've always been like, when I grew up, I never had that many friends. It was always just family members and cousins. Like, a lot of my boys are really just family members. I got a big-ass family of, like, I got 8 aunts and uncles on one side, 8 aunts and uncles on my other side. So, and then they all had, like, 5 kids. And it's all guys, so.
Oh, man.
Shout out to the family.
I can't imagine being at the reunion or the
thing. No, the reunions, forget about it. No, when they ask for tickets, it's like, bro, 100 tickets, 1,000 tickets.
Yeah.
For real, though, for real. Or like you know, you rent a yacht, it's like, bro, 12 heads?
We're just
one invitation.
Have you felt like you've gotten closer to family or further away from family with the fame?
I think it's a combination. Like, I think I've lost a lot of people, maybe like friends or supposed friends. I think at one point.
Yeah, join the club, man.
I mean, I think it happens. I think, you know, when you're coming up in any field, I feel, and especially if like you're from the hood or if you don't come from money, you have a lot of people rooting for you, you know? Yo, let's go. Or you're younger, you know, you got the kids, you know, they want you to win. And then when you win or you make it, it's like, all right, we good. We don't want to win no more. Next, you know? So that's kind of the thing in life in general, I think. But for me, it's like, and we've seen this before where I feel like I've never changed, but you start feeling like people start changing with you, you know? So I'm not gonna lie and say that I've lost some friends. And sometimes maybe in the beginning of it, things were uncomfortable with my family. But I think ultimately I'm really close to my family right now. I think it's a process, you know, it's like a roller coaster. Logan wants to say something. What do you want to say?
We're both having the same thought.
Nicky, we just had the same conversation.
Same conversation with Nicky Jam. It's funny how, like, man, you got your supporters and people rooting for you, especially if you come from nothing, and then you make it, and then all of a sudden, people don't really want you to win that much anymore because you already won.
Exactly. It's a weird thing. It's a weird thing.
Yeah.
I think it just makes people, any kind of, like, overt success or like very visual success just makes people reflect inward on themselves. I've been having some trouble with a family member of mine recently that has been a little bit turned off by the successes. And I try not to be like braggadocious or anything like that.
Is it Sloane?
Nah, Sloane, she's only like not even one, bro. She doesn't even have a brain. Like, she's still just a pile of mud or what is babies. I don't know. She has no thoughts, bro. No, but like,
it's not Sloane.
No, it's not Sloane. But like, yeah, I feel like whenever somebody sees you doing too well, it automatically like invokes in certain people a feeling of I don't want to say envy, but like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it just makes people uncomfortable, bro.
I also think like people see social media or whatever you put out and they are already imagining a whole nother thing, or like you buy a new car and it's like, oh, you know, they see you got a fly car and maybe you worked your ass off for it, but now all of a sudden it's like, wow, he's making so much money, he's good, like, why isn't he hooking me up or whatever? And it's like, you don't know the behind the scenes of things. Like, I always get like, you know, like, obviously you get a car. People think like you go buy it $300,000 cash. Like, bro, there's loans, there's a finance, there's a monthly payment. Yeah, you know what I mean? So it's like people get into this thing of like this, I don't know, bro. I think recently I've been a little bit turned off with like just the social media thing, because it's like, bro, there's so much information, so much going on, and people are just reading and reading and reading and just getting confused and assuming things and creating things. And now we got AI, and now we got this. And I'm like, just when things were getting good, now we got,
We got AI fucking calling you and recording a rap song. Dog. So it's just, I mean, it's interesting. I don't want to come out here just talking all this shit. Like, yeah, if he came in with mad negativity.
I'm with you, bro.
We're on your team, bro. It's information overload. We don't know what's real and what's fake and where it's coming from. And it's a gnarly time to be alive, because how does a human's brain process all this access to information and media and just bullshit, overall noise? Even I want to harp back on something you said, because the world that you're living in is a crazy one, and your rise to fame is insane. You lost some friends along the way, like that feels inevitable, yeah, for people in your position. Is there anything you want to like share, or anything you're willing to share about a falling out you've had?
I gotta be specific, but certain people that, you know, I think in music, at least, I don't know about, I can't speak for anything else, but I think in music, you usually get fame first before actual money. Like, I don't think I was comfortable or enough to say like, oh shit, I made it, to like maybe like at least 5-6 years into my career, you know? And I was already on radio, I was already popping, I was already doing shows. But you know, you sign shitty deals or you know, like things are larger than life, like I said, on the grand scheme of things, but maybe you didn't get paid. Like maybe I did something dope with a brand and my billboards everywhere and I got paid $3,000 for it. And it looks like it's $1 million, you know?
Yeah.
So I think when I started coming up, soon as like I was on TV or radio, I remember being on the radio still going to college. I used to go to BMCC in Manhattan. I used to work for Sprint at a cell phone store.
Yeah, so we want to talk about that.
I would pull up to college in my Sprint uniform, because I would I'd take night school and I'd work at the cell phone store. And I didn't bother spending money on clothes, because it's like, whatever, it's nighttime. There was no chicks at night. So no, it's not. So I would go, you know, and I would still be on the radio taking the train. And it wasn't until one time that I'm taking the train and someone takes a photo of me. And I see it on Twitter at the time, and it's like, what the hell is Prince Royce doing on the train? And I'm like, okay, I gotta start taking yellow cabs now. Hey. But I mean, I was still living in the projects. I was making some money. It was better money than, you know, once I quit the cell phone store. But I wasn't like buying a $500 crib or $1 million crib. But immediately, once I started being on TV and stuff, a couple friends like, yo, can you buy me this or buy me that? And I'm like, bro, I haven't even taken my mom out the hood yet. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like things like that where, you know, I don't know. A lot of people get strange, and it's almost like people feel entitlement, almost like, oh, what? But like, what about me and stuff? And it's like, bro, I got a bunch of other people that weren't even as close as me and you were that I got to take care of first. Like, I got a brother and sister. I got a mom and dad, you know?
My uncle, who I wasn't that close with growing up, like he would pop in and out, you know, here and there, is upset with me because I won't buy him a pickup truck. I don't know this guy like that, dude. And he's sending me charged text messages.
With
charged
pictures.
If I was in your position, the things I would do for the family around. I'm like, dog, I don't know you.
I never met you before.
Nah.
The last time I met you, I don't even know. It was the picture of that.
Yeah, I seen a picture of us together.
A picture of that when I was
like
5 years old.
Yeah, man, the entitlement's gnarly. But I mean, forget all that. Let's put that aside for a second.
Well, folks, the wait is almost over. This weekend, NASCAR is headed to the streets of Chicago for an unprecedented road course race through the heart of the city. There's truly been nothing like this in NASCAR's 75 years of existence. And what an epic way to celebrate those 75 years of racing, competition, and innovation than with a one-of-a-kind event like this one. The playing field will be as even as ever, considering this will be the driver's first time behind the wheel on this course. The 12 twists and turns throughout historic Grant Park are sure to make for some unbelievable racing, and with playoff spots on the line, who knows what's going to happen. And did we mention it's 4th of July weekend? So make sure you get the whole crew together, celebrate this beautiful country with a couple cold beverages, maybe some Prime, and tune into the first ever Chicago street race on July 2nd at 5:30 p.m. Eastern on NBC. NASCAR. Back to the show.
You did it, bro.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Bachata music.
Bachata music. So bachata, for the people that don't know what bachata is.
Help us.
Bachata is a tropical genre from Dominican Republic. And originally this was a very, I kind of like to compare it a little to country music just because it's very, with a lot of instrumentation. So it consists of a bass, two guitars. The requinto is the lead guitar. It's called requinto. It's a bongo and a guira. Guira is literally like a metal circle. I'm over here like a guira is. It's like literally you scratch like it does like the tweet to it, you know. So and then you can have some keys. And this was a very underground, very frowned upon genre because it was very they would play it in the strip clubs. Really, it was very kind of like, I don't want to say dirty, but like if you were a 16-year-old girl playing bachata, your dad and your mom would say chill. Like my grandma used to play bachata and her dad, my grandma's dad would tell her to cut it off. So that genre started to grow. It was always very nostalgic, very about pain. I'm gonna kill myself without your love, but always revolved about romanticism, and it's very danceable. And little by little, it ended up growing and getting out and becoming more commercial. And so I think like my bachata has always been a little more R&B flavored, New York flavor. I added violins at the time. I have like live strings on it, which they would say, like, for example, like people who are true bachata fans say that like my bachata is not real bachata because it has a lot of fusions of, like, I like to fuck around. I like to do a lot of things that haven't been done in the genre. So I'll put like a ukulele on it. I'll put violins on it. I did a one in that had a mariachi on it, like regional Mexican vibes on it. So technically, like mine is bachata pop, but
are these bachata Karens that are like at their house? Like
that is not real
was
bachata.
That a ukulele? No,
fuck that. Dude, yo, for real. So I got like a little. When does this come out? June.
June.
So whatever. I did like a little skit in my album that. Like I'm kind of making fun of what people say about me.
That situation.
And whatever. I go on TikTok last week or whatever. They sent me a TikTok and there's like a dude listening to one of my songs is playing it's playing there, whatever. And he's like, this shit ain't bachata. I just said bachata. This shit ain't bachata because I'm talking Spanish. That Prince Royce shit is bachata for sweet 16s, for birthday parties. Let me get a real bachata song so I can get a knife and cut my wrist. I did like a reaction recently where I'm like watching him, I'm eating a cake or whatever. He's like, but anyways, nah. So I think like, obviously everybody has their opinion, but what made me known or what gave me that stamp in bachata was the fact that my bachata was different from what was out there and what was already happening. So I think in general, you always got to go with your gut feeling. You always got to try to be unique. Like I think in general, whenever I'm doing music, I try to really think what has been done before, what I haven't done before, push the envelope to really be different, you know?
Well, it worked.
It worked. Amen. Amen. Amen.
And that's the battle cry, I think, of a lot of people, especially in music who make it. You got to be different. Like if you're making stuff that everyone else was making, where's the disruption?
100%.
Yeah, you know?
Actually, my first song was, you know, Stand By Me.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
My first song was a Stand By Me Spanglish cover.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Yeah. That was my first song. So it's like, it was weird because it was like my first single was like an English song. It was a mostly English song in bachata.
So I wanted to ask about this because I find the Spanish-English fusion in music fascinating. And it's awesome. I mean, we were just talking while you were walking in, but Latin music now is, it's one of the biggest genres in the world, and it's growing, and it probably might even hit number one. If you look at the top global charts right now, like all the songs are Latin artists, Peso Pluma, Bad Bunny, like guys like these are killing it. And the ability to fuse English and Spanish into some of these songs is like a combination of culture that I think we haven't really seen before. And you were one of the first people to do it.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because I think about this all the time. Like, it's weird because there's so many people like me that are like Spanglish. They think in English and speak in Spanish and watch Spanish TV and listen to hip hop and do everything. And growing up, I remember I was originally like doing R&B, like R&B in English. I was singing R&B in English and Spanglish. And it always felt weird because it was like, I wasn't English enough to sing R&B. And then sometimes I feel like I'm not Spanish enough to sing Spanish. Like sometimes I go to Latin America and they'll be like, oh, you're a gringo or whatever.
They call you a gringo?
Yeah, they be calling me.
What would that make us?
They call me
translucent.
So like sometimes they're like, oh, and no one, it's weird because sometimes they'll talk to me like they're talking to me in English. And I'm like, you know, like you could talk to me in Spanish. And like, oh, I don't know. Like, I mean, what do you guys think I'm doing? Putting someone else to record the records, you know? But they'd see me as like an American guy with Dominican descent. And in my case, I grew up very Dominican. Like both my parents are Dominican. I grew up speaking Spanish at home, English in school. And I always felt very Dominican. So back to on subject, that was always kind of like the thing, like you know.
Back and forth.
Yeah. Yeah, like I always just felt like, even in Latin music, sometimes certain countries don't see me as full Latin or full Hispanic. Mm. And I think that's an interesting thing because there's so many people that I feel are like me. And that's what was always the vibe with me. Like the vibe with me was always like, you know, like I like to tweet in English. Like people be writing to me like, oh, but write in Spanish. And I'm like, all right, but the thought was in English. You know what I'm saying?
And well, don't some things like make more sense to say in English versus Spanish? Because like also you grew up in like, the spot for this type of activity, like the Bronx, yeah. BX is such a heavy Latin Hispanic community. Like, I don't know. I want to hear more about your influences, but like Fat Joe, Big Pun, yeah. like Cuban Links, all that shit. Like growing up, that was like in the New York scene. That was like the representative like area mm-hmm. of the boroughs for Hispanic music. So like who was inspiring you to move in the direction of bachata when you were coming up, like from hip hop or whatever?
Yeah, well, growing up, I would listen to like a lot of Eminem. I was a big Usher fan. Like I know every Usher record. I'm gonna go to Vegas. Shout out to Usher. I'm gonna go to Vegas and check out the Usher, residency. Then I was listening to Juan Luis Guerra, who's like he was like the guy that made bachata a little more pop global. There's Anthony Santos, who is very, kind of like street urban bachata. Then there was Aventura, who also came in and did it. They were from New York as well, and they did it like a New York flavor. So when I was growing up, I was listening to Aventura, Salsa, Mark Anthony, stuff like that. And I was singing R&B in English, and I was in a studio. It was like a studio with two rooms. And in the kitchen, there was like a guy who was like, yo, you should sing some bachata. And I'm like, sure, whatever. At the time, I was recording everything, to be honest. I'm like, whatever, put me in the booth. And that's when I started. I did my first album with like 12 grand from the cell phone store. My first album is literally the album I did on my own.
You did it inside the cell phone store?
I did it inside the cell phone store.
Wait.
But I'm saying like I did it with the money of the cell phone store. So I funded that whole project by myself. And then I went to a few labels. And this guy who was my manager at the time, was the one that took me to an independent label that ultimately signed me.
So I just don't understand, like, why Sprint?
they was hiring, bro. That's it. They were hiring.
Did you have Sprint personally?
You had to. It was free. Of course you had
tough.
It.
That's tough.
What year was this? Because you got to understand, Sprint was a very different telecommunications company back in the day. There was a time when they were popping. I mean, bro, they were still popping.
Remember the chirp, the next cell? Yeah. That was chirp. T-Mobile had the sidekicks. That was dope too.
You know how many packs I moved off that fucking what were they called? The flip one with the 89 and 90? Like the fucking first.
The
like,
chirp, yeah. It was a next cell.
Yeah, the next cell.
But it had the walkie-talkie, and the walkie-talkie at the time was free minutes. For the young kids, we had to pay for text and minutes back in the day. So the walkie-talkie was free. And I'm losing my train of thought.
No, we're talking about Sprint.
Oh, yeah, no. So I had two free cell phones, of course. So, you got a free cell phone, you know, one for the bros, one for the hoes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. I'm just, so confused because, you know, when I hear Sprint, I just, you know.
Sprint's ain't bad. But T-Mobile bought Sprint, so now shout out to Sprint.
I see. Oh, they combined,
I'm over here shouting out everybody. Can you edit this? I'm like, I got to get paid.
Bro. Nah, these don't count as shout outs, bro. Not the way we're talking about them. These are shout downs, dude.
So I find it interesting, even just hearing you talk about your artistry. You know, you're trying a bunch of stuff. How much of an artist, you feel like? Like it comes from a place of wanting to create really like passionately? Like you wrote poetry even
for
some time, correct?
So I started in junior high school writing poetry. And the thing about bachata is that I tell people all the time, like I tell my label and my manager all the time, they're like, yo, you got a hand in the album. Like the amount of first work and then money that requires for this genre, because everything's live, it's musicians. So you go on tour, I mean, it's $100,000 just to move the band and everybody, you know? So when you're in the studio, you know, you do a demo. First of all, you got to write the song. So whether it's to guitar, to piano, you write the song. The song must be a beautiful, poetic, sentimiento song. Sentimiento means like emotion. So it's not like you can't just pull up and just, you know, it's not like more like hip hop that is maybe a little. So that's the train thought, the thought process in the song. Then you got to record percussion. So bongos first, guida second, guitar, second guitar, bass, piano. So it takes weeks and weeks to really, where like, you know, music nowadays when it's more computerized and MIDI keyboard, you know, you could do something in maybe a few hours. So doing an album takes approximately like 2 years usually. And I'd be like, I'm trying to work as fast as I can.
How involved are you in like that pre-vocals segment of it?
I was just talking about AI because I was like, fuck, I should get AI to record my demo vocals. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I record twice usually. I record the demo when we're writing the song. Then my producer, who's my brother-in-law, and he's been my producer since years, you know, he gets some music doing, and I'll go in for the important things usually. But yeah, that's I'm pretty involved though.
Cool.
I'm too involved. Sometimes it's just annoying.
I imagine you have to be for that type of music because it's coming from the heart. You know, it's 100%. It's passion.
It's real stories usually. You know, and yeah.
I tried to be a singer. Like I
let's hear it.
Well, so. Look, I try to do music and it's so hard, man. And you
had a trainer, voice trainer.
I had a vocal trainer for a year.
I mean, it helps. Like
I flew to Sweden. Bro, I recorded with one of Max Martin's producers.
Really?
Man, I tried so hard. I made like 20 songs. I mean, not as many as you would make before you like whittle it down. But it wasn't, I don't know.
Is it online?
No, I was so bad. I didn't want to release it. But I also did a little poetry and I actually prepared a poem. For
he's fucking
did.
Around. He's
I swear.
Around.
Let's I swear.
Wait, let's what? See. Why don't you tell me about this? I would have prepared a poem.
I prepared a little poem. Well, because you wrote poetry, I got a little inspired.
Yeah, that's nice.
I prepared a poem for listen. The podcast.
It's nice.
I tried to be a singer, but there was no shata. I suck at music, especially bachata. Prince Royce, I like your voice. It makes such a pretty noise. But when I sing, it hurts like Mike's hemorrhoids.
Interesting. I like that. That's beautiful.
I don't like it.
We should get him to open up the concerts. I think people would like that. Let's get him to open up the concerts. What y'all think? Comment. What y'all think? Fire. Yeah, man.
Did you just write that 5 minutes?
He wrote that here 1 minute ago, right now. They just texted
it
to him.
I wrote it. Yeah, look, I just wrote it. But listen, you once made 106 songs. For an album.
Where's everybody getting this?
Yeah, that one from? Number.
Everyone keeps asking me this.
Yo, tell us more about the 106 songs.
106 songs. No, they all went to the trash.
No, well, in music, most of them do, right? Because you got to whittle it down to 13 on an album, maybe?
Yeah, like this one has 23. This album.
Oh, that's extendo.
But the thing is, a lot extendo. But a lot of them already came out. So like six already came out. And I'm like, bro, I'm not going to give them six tracks with three new tracks.
Yeah, okay,
so,
true.
No, I think... as an artist too, like in anything, when you hear something over and over again, it becomes old to you.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org, paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
And maybe there's song. So for me, like, if I still love it a year later, I'm like, all right, I still love it. And I have a thing where I get like I can be obsessed with something quick and then like bounce.
Yeah, same, bro.
Sorry. That's why the headphones are good. Yeah. If someone goes, what's he gonna say?
Keep me breathing.
I was gonna say, I imagine you have to control that part of your personality a little bit, because I have a little bit of that, and you can get excited about a thing that maybe you shouldn't be.
Yeah, be excited. That much energy and very spontaneous.
Yeah, yeah. And then you make rash decisions.
So, like, when I turned 30 years old, I went on a license spree. Like a license spree.
What do you mean a license?
I was like, I'm about to get every license. My cousin was like, yo, you want a mini midlife crisis, bro? So I went, I always had my motorcycle license, but I started, but I got my motorcycle license at 18.
Oh, you're talking about like permits? Like actual
license. Yeah, actual. I'm going to tell you right now. So I got my motorcycle license back in the day. And it started first with like my cousin rides a lot of motorcycles, started riding motorcycles. Cool. And I'm like, you know, what would happen if I get my scuba diving license? Cool, we went and got our scuba diving license. It was dope, whatever. Then I was like, I don't think I got my boat license yet. Like, not, you don't need a boat license, but you need like a boat certificate. Went in, did the class, started driving boats. But I'm talking about like little boats. Like I was throwing the anchors and shit. I was like, I need to learn like the real shit, getting stuck.
You're like a character in Grand Theft Auto, bro.
I know, hold on, it gets better. Bro, then I got my skydiving license. I'm not even kidding. I got 50, I'm for real. I got like 54 jumps.
You have 54 jumps?
54 jumps.
How many do you have? Logan,
it's you. You skydive?
I have 27.
Oh, so you're pretty good.
It's exactly twice.
All right, so it's not that crazy.
You got one? Skydiving is crazy.
50, I've done it, but I've never jumped solo. Just
54 is a lot, dude.
You know, like the hopping pops. You know the hopping pops. Yeah. You got to do low. Yeah. I fucked up there like 10 times. That's the only reason why I went from like 20 to 30.
How could you fuck up a hopping pop?
And also, bro, that's not the one to fuck up.
I know.
Bro.
Flip
that's
all the one the you time. Do.
Mad low.
You open the fucking door.
It's like a base jump.
So I would come. So it's like Homestead. It was like an hour away from my house every time I drive over there. It's a weird feeling because going up on the plane, I would get flashbacks of my life. Like the news.
Yeah.
Like the news, Royce is dead. Like I would get these scary ass, like, and then the other pros are like sleeping on the way up to the fucking. But the feeling that I would get when I would come back home later that day would feel like blessed. Like, oh, I'm happy to be home today.
I made it.
Like, and you're literally saving your life each jump. I stopped because of COVID, but I had like 50 some jumps.
That's a funny way to look at it. I'm saving my life on this.
No, you're saving your life.
Yeah, you're falling. Dude, you're falling out of a plane.
I mean,
you have to do something. Like, you're going to do it. Like, if you don't save your life,
they say that
you're fucking toast, bro. I feel that. Got to do something.
They say that you're more likely getting into an accident and dying on the way to skydive than actually skydiving.
It's true. The skydiving fatalities are one in 167,000.
So he knows all about it.
But you was doing flips and everything. You almost died, for real?
Dude, my second solo jump, my main chute did not open. I had to cut away. My second solo jump.
That's like, that happens to a lot of people. Does it sound familiar to you? I heard a story like that.
Look red, grab red, peel pull. Look silver, grab silver, peel pull. I had to do it. Mike's right. I had to do something.
He had to save his own life.
Nah. It got caught in about a 4x4 cube, and the parachute just wouldn't open.
Where were you doing this? Like, what state?
Paris, California.
Okay.
And that's another thing. You mentioned it, but the drive to Paris for me was 2 hours.
Yeah, it's always deep. It's always far.
Drive.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm saying that's a lot of jumps, because how many jumps you get in a day? Like 5 or 6?
No, like maybe 3 max.
Man, you must have been going for like months. Like months on months.
Nah, I probably was going every other day though. But like 3 or 4 max.
Yeah, you see, you don't get a lot. You drive an hour, you get four jumps a day.
Yeah, and that's it.
You know, you could jump from a hot air balloon or a helicopter.
No, I don't have that license yet though.
You just have that many jumps.
I just I have the A. I think it's the A license.
Yeah, you have the A.
I don't have the B. You got to do a little course for the B. But I could do, I could do the hot air. You got to do like a water training or something.
So you don't have your pilot's license then? That's where the license.
Okay, so that. So yeah, so then.
You're like a license.
Then I'm like,
addict.
All right.
It's crazy. Is there like a rehab?
Then I did a fucking I did my mixology license with my sister.
Yeah.
I'm serious. Then I did a real estate license.
Oh,
I
you're never a dangerous
I,
man.
I didn't do
you
the
can
test.
Do it all.
I just like learning, you know. I think like there's never like, you know, you could always keep learning and learning new things. I'm curious. But yeah, the pilot license has always been the dream. A 2-engine pilot license.
Oh, you really want to do it?
Yeah, I'm serious, yeah.
Oh,
you got to
wow.
get your 2-engine pilot license and learn how to fly without an instrument.
Do you know there was a YouTuber called. Recently who he crashed a plane on purpose?
No, I don't know.
He was flying over the desert and he set up cameras all over the plane. And then he was like, Mayday, Mayday, I'm going down. And he jumped out of the plane with a parachute and just let his plane crash for clout. don't forget to like and subscribe. He got arrested.
He got arrested.
He got his pilot's license revoked. He's in trouble. He's in trouble now because he destroyed the evidence. He tampered with the plane and had a helicopter privately pull it out. And he said he didn't do it for views. And yet every angle was captured.
The things that people are doing nowadays for clout.
Yeah, and it was a fully occupied JetBlue flight too. That was the worst part.
No. You're joking. I'm about to say, like, bro.
That's so then bad.
That was where
that's
the license
so just hopped out, bro. Everyone's dead.
Can't say something like that.
We'll cut that out. Nah.
Yeah, that'll be cut
nah.
out.
But but I stopped already. That was I just need the pilot license now. I don't think I got any other.
That one's tough. That takes a lot of time.
Yeah, it takes a lot. I think it's 48. It's not as many hours as you think. I think, from what I remember.
You know what I'm thinking? Or that's what you're thinking?
Nah, it's like 48. I don't know. Or 60. I was looking into it. I don't remember. But it's definitely less hours to fly a private plane than a commercial.
Which activity do you like the most?
The skydiving. I was doing it by myself, so it wasn't that fun. Like, I never got into it with a buddy to be able to do it. I think the scuba diving is cool. Like, I do it with, like, four or five cousins.
Y'all just running up on these fish. Yeah. Pulling up on these fish.
Yo, pull it up.
For real. I think the motorcycle's fun too. It's dangerous though.
So bad.
All this stuff has a level of danger to it. You sounds like you're a bit of an adrenaline junkie.
I don't find myself to be, but I guess people think, like, I don't be driving the car mad fast.
Could you ever do a sky bachata? Like a bachata while skydiving? I know it seems.
I thought about doing a video, but I'll do it to record with the wind.
You should do. I mean, you could do 100 different things.
I know. I'm slacking on this fact that I got all this shit and I haven't really.
You got to combine them.
I need
bro.
To combine.
Like
them.
If you take a motorcycle out of a plane,
you know, take you the know motorcycle, jump off the plane, jump into the water, scuba diving, come out, drive the boat.
Yeah.
While you're shaking a margarita.
Yes. Now you're talking, bro. Even just ran a marathon.
Oh yeah, I ran a marathon too.
That's come on, man.
But that's not.
No, that's crazier than all of them. You actually have to train and, like, get ready for it and shit. And you did it for a good cause.
Yeah.
For the Kidney Foundation.
National Kidney Foundation. I ran a marathon, 26.2 miles.
Did you prepare?
That's a dope one. Yeah, I just used the Nike app, to be honest. What? I just did, like, you got the app and it tells you, oh, marathon date is this day. Run this much miles.
So you just download the app and you can run a marathon.
And you're good. Free app.
Oh, shit. I'm going to grab that.
Shout out Nike app.
One of my cousins, he's like, he does Ironmans and shit. So he got me into it. I did it with him. I don't want to run again because I lose a lot of muscle weight. I'm already like skinny. But I would like to run Japan. I've never been to Japan. So,
oh, you haven't been either?
No, I have been to Japan. So the day that I do go to Japan, I think I'm gonna try to run the marathon.
I've never been there either. Have you?
What? What'd you say?
Have you been to Japan?
Have you been to Japan?
What?
How did you prepare for the marathon? Like, did you run every day leading into
Nothing. We were just wondering how you prepared for the marathon.
Bro,
so wait, you lose muscle when you start training for marathons?
In my case, I lost a lot of like muscle, just running a lot, you know.
Yeah. You gotta avoid that for sure.
You're big in Philly.
I think I get it.
I just can't believe what people are doing for views these days. Can't believe what that guy did out of his plane.
That was
crazy.
Just for views.
Yo, they're doing on YouTube now.
Crazy.
Damn, that's crazy.
You're also a big video game player.
I'm a big video game player.
Call of Duty.
Bro, you do it all. You know, when do you actually make music?
I be wondering that shit too. Nah, but Call of Duty, I mean, I've been playing this game.
The best.
I wouldn't say I'm the best. I got a little cousin. He's like 18. He's nasty. But you know, like, if you know about Call of Duty, I got Orion, or like, which is like the mask is the skin.
Yeah.
Which you gotta grind heavily to get. I'm pretty nasty.
What do you have to do to get it? Like,
so you have to play with every single gun in the game, every single gun, rockets, knives, shields, and all of them have five challenges. So it could be 30 headshots, it could be 20 shots from the back.
Multiplayer or on like
Everything multiplayer.
Do you play Warzone as well? Resurgence?
Yeah, both.
I'm really, though, wondering how you allocate your time. I'm having a hard time keeping track of
both.
If you're doing a lot of stuff, because most people just do, like, one thing.
I know, but that's the thing. I had my golf moment one time. I was training with a golf pro.
I'd
be bouncing around. I tell myself all the time, I got to chill and just focus on one thing.
No, but it's good. You're curious.
Yeah.
And this is probably going to be a thing for the rest of your life. I imagine you'll get your pilot's license.
I think so, hopefully.
Maybe learn how to play chess, backgammon, maybe.
I know how to play chess.
What about backgammon?
I'm not crazy. No, I don't know how to play
backgammon. What about Rubik's Cube?
No, I don't know how to play Rubik's Cube.
You could try to solve a Rubik's Cube.
Like, you can pull them out of the regular cubes with the colors?
Yeah, the squares.
Nah, that looks too annoying.
Yeah, so lame.
So annoying.
So lame.
But, yeah, man, I be grinding in Call of Duty, man. I just got Zelda, the new game.
What system are you playing on? Switch?
PS5.
Switch?
No, PS5.
Oh.
But Zelda came out on Switch.
Do you play Mario Kart?
Yeah, I'm pretty nasty at Mario Kart.
Me too, bro.
I'm pretty nasty at most games.
Who's your character?
I play Yoshi.
Yeah.
But you know what like was Yoshi a good too. Game that if people are serious, a great tournament with my cousins? Smash Brothers.
That's the best game to play at a party ever, bro. It's so fun. That and Mario Kart.
We do that all the time.
You have a girl right now?
But possibly, I can't answer that question right now. Nah, I just got divorced like 2 years
you
ago.
You just brought me on a roller coaster of emotions.
I'm keeping it real, you know.
Okay, so how do people avoid divorce? Like, what do you think went wrong?
I think in my case, we got together very young, maybe like at 21, 22.
Mm.
I think when you get together very young, all of a sudden I'm like, I think that
here comes the spanglish.
Hey, by the way, you don't have to answer this.
I'm fucking with you. No.
I know it's kind of a personal question.
No, I think like, I'll be generic. I'm good at talking a lot of vague shit.
That'll do it.
No, I think in general, when you get together very young, you're finding yourself, you're growing, your interests, the interest that you have then is not the same that you have now.
Grow apart.
What you wanted then. Yeah, so, and then she lived in LA, I lived in Miami. So for me, it was like, had a house over there, had a house here. You know, we were always traveling, so it always felt like, you know, I'm living off a bag off tour, and I'm also living off a bag when I'm home in LA or whatever. So we tried that for a few times, and it was just back and forth, and it just kind of, like I said, just like you said, actually, just drifted kind of apart, you know?
Yeah, people, I mean, that feels inevitable, you know, especially if you get together at such a young age. People grow so much. I just, like, I'm so curious, though, like, when you cut your hair?
January this year. Yeah, January this year.
Fuck.
Yeah, January this year.
I was trying to stick with a divorce for a second,
real
bro.
Yeah,
give me, I can't.
As soon as I got divorced, I was
diving
like,
to video games. I can't.
The boss
no,
baby.
But yeah, you know, it was kind of a rebirth vibe. I don't want to get mad spiritual, but you know, I had like long hair and whatever, but I haven't had this haircut since I was like 12, 13 years old. And I would always say, I'm going to get the buzz cut. I'm going to buzz it. And I was just like, fuck it, I'm going to do it.
And it worked.
I think people like, you know.
It's great.
The thing about the other hair that I had was just too, I had to, you know, I had to blow dry, get it up.
Because it almost defied gravity.
The other one, yeah, it was very defying gravity. It would the wind would blow and it just stay firm. It wouldn't even move. It was stone cold.
No, it's great. And you
look at our producers.
Kind of like, yeah.
It looks like a trampoline.
But I had a little high curls like that too. At one point. I think I'm gonna grow it back out though.
Can we just talk about the divorce for a second? Sorry, or just relationships.
The relationships in general.
Did that help you? Do breakups help you write more bachata?
Great question.
Do you know what I'm saying?
I think it does. I think breakups help you write music. I think it makes you look at things too in general. I think it you start thinking, you know, like things you could have done or should have done. You learn from your mistakes. I mean, it sounds cliche, people say that, but it really is true. Like you see things that could have, that maybe you didn't do or could have done, and I think that you take that and you move forward with it. But I think that it definitely helps inspire some records
with the type of music that you made and the type of hair that graced your skull. You were a heartthrob.
Hey, man, I still am.
Yeah, no, you still are. But like a real, like teen, I think teens.
Yeah, 100%,
like,
yeah.
You know, and was that ever tough to navigate while you were in a committed relationship?
100%. I think, obviously, like anything, I tell people all the time, things that, like nothing that's great in life comes easy, period.
period. Like, people want to be CEO, talking about CEOs, whatever. Like, the grind they had to do was probably crazy. And even still. So I think that obviously, like, especially like getting money at a young age, I think I've handled it pretty well. I'm not going to, I don't think I regret things because I think I have a pretty good head on my shoulders. I don't know why I thought about the shampoo Head and Shoulders. Too many brand names.
Dude, bro, there ain't no way.
Yo, shout out Head and Shoulders.
Yo, shout out Head and Shoulders.
Get the team on, bro. This shit is fucking
out. Like six months.
Yo, and the messed up thing about it, I feel like he probably has like deals on the side with all of them. And he's just getting
Let me drink some Pride.
Let's go, baby.
And he drank the one that's the color of his whole outfit.
Oh, it's matching.
Nah, but for real.
Shout out Prime.
Shout out Prime. Nah, but for real, what was that?
You know, in general, you get money early. You go out to the club and how you hook up with girls. Like
but you know, for example, I didn't go to a strip club until I was like 23, 24.
It's a good time to go.
So, but I never got the full experience of like me going in like regular or, and it sounds like mad bougie, but like I never had that experience or like I wouldn't go because I felt like, oh no, if I go in there, they're going to see me and it's going to be weird and whatever. So I went through that kind of weird phase in the beginning. And yeah, obviously it is difficult. It is difficult to obviously there's girls all around, there's alcohol all around,
Yeah. Drugs
possibly all around. And I think in general, it's a weird life. But I think for me, I've always been very, I think, grounded. So,
I mean, when you come home and you got to tell your wife like, hey, I just shot a music video with Jennifer Lopez.
she's a big J-Lo. Well, she was a big J-Lo fan, actually.
I mean, we all are.
Yeah, yeah.
That's got to be crazy.
I think at the time, she was always very understanding, though. I got to give her that.
Okay, cool.
She was very understanding at the time. Like, if it had something to do with girls or something, it wasn't like it was like a...
Is that because she trusted you?
I don't know. It's a question for her.
Were you stoked? Were you stoked to make a music video with J-Lo?
Hell yeah. I was like, let's go. Back it up now. but you know, Jen.
Ben Affleck's coming for you.
Shout out to Ben. Nah.
Ben Affleck.
But keep for real though. I think she's really a cool, down-to-earth girl, like Jennifer Lopez. Cool girl. I remember going to her house and... like I'm sitting in the kitchen and we were just chilling and she's like, hey, do you want some more chicken or some more rice or something? And I'm like, yeah, let me get some more rice. And then I put this way, I'm eating. I'm like, wait, like Jennifer Lopez is in the kitchen cooking, feeding me some rice and beans. Obviously everybody loves her, you know, she really is a genuine girl. She's a hard worker. And, yeah.
Was that like one of your biggest, a Rose Compolio moment? Like, was that like your biggest moment?
Nah, there's been a few. Like, I got a song with Shakira. I think that was dope. Yeah. With Daddy Yankee at the time, I got a song with Daddy Yankee. He was my first collab, actually, ever, which was cool. And I wrote that song from the bunk bed of the project still. So I think that was a cool one. Mark Anthony, I love him. He's a great, great dude. We got a record together. I'm thinking of people. I did a song with Selena Gomez back in the day. I did a song with... I'm forgetting people. A lot of people admire.
Anyone you work with or met that you expected to be cool and then wasn't, you could say their name.
So I met this dude. Like, this dude Logan Paul was a motherfucker.
Good answer. You're so right.
There's always people. After a few years in this, I learned to understand that people. In the business, everyone works differently, whether it's music or acting or whatever. Everyone has their flow, their vibe, the way that they do things. And I think through time, I ended up not, or at least I try not to take things personal. But yeah, there's been some people. I've worked with a lot of people that were mad cool. Some people were like more, what's good, bro, than others. But that doesn't mean that they treated me bad. I think most people were pretty cool. I think and most collabs that I do are usually pretty genuine and pretty organic.
Have you ever been humbled in this industry?
I wouldn't say a specific moment, but I think so. I think we'd all be lying if there wasn't a moment where we felt humbled of something like that. By humbled, what do you mean?
So
He can give you an example.
I could give you a few fucking examples. Like, I don't know. Here's one. You prepare 2 years to beat a guy in a boxing match. You get a boxing match with him. You tie the first time. You tie him. You go to fight him again. You lose by a weird 2-point decision that the ref called from some bullshit. Then you make a $1 billion company with him. But I got humbled.
I feel you.
Because I lost that fight. And that's one of many. But I have a theory. I have a theory that everyone at any time could use a good humbling. I think a good humbling is good for any person. So like,
yeah,
when I mean, maybe you released an album, you expected, this is my best one yet. You expect it to go crazy. It doesn't hit the numbers you want.
All the time. There's songs all the time that you believe in that you really want to, like, yo, you're betting on it, and it does nothing. And then there's a song that you think is whack that everybody loves all of a sudden. And then you end up promoting that song like, fuck, I don't even like this song. But there's a hundred. I wouldn't say something specific, but definitely. I think there's definitely times where you're like, you know, you want to push yourself. You always want to beat your last number or your last record, or you want to push it further.
What about even in like growing up, like in school? Like, you ever get jumped by a bully?
100%. I got my sneakers stolen one time, and I walked home barefoot in front of my girlfriend at the time. Yeah, there we go.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, nah. I was walking my girlfriend to the train one time.
The six.
The four. The six is nearby, though. Okay. Good try. The four.
He's from Connecticut.
But
man.
For real?
It's all he's from New York, though.
I got a cousin.
Metro North.
I got a friend of mine in Waterbury, Connecticut.
Yeah, not a great place. Sorry to your friend. Dirty water. They call it the dirty water.
Well, like,
yeah, Brass City.
Well, Jersey, they call it Dirty Jersey. Too.
Dirty Jersey, yeah. Dude, I got some stories about Waterbury. You do not want to hear those, bro. The Waterbury Motor Lodge, bro. Man.
I've never been, but I know that's where
it's
from.
Don't go there, dude. Sorry to anybody watching some dirty water, dude.
So, what were we talking about? I forgot.
Waterbury.
Waterbury, Connecticut. Oh, yeah. So a dude pulls up on me, allegedly a gun on my back. I don't know if it was fake or not, but I didn't have nothing in my pockets. I lived like 2 minutes away. I showed my pockets. It was nothing. And he took my sneakers and I just walked. I just went about my day.
Yeah, I can
another,
see
another
just,
day
you
in
just
New
went
York.
Went to Sprint with socks on.
No. I was just walking to the walked her back to the train and just walked home barefoot.
Do you ever think about maybe turning around and asking him, like, is that real? You know what I'm saying? Like, turn around and ask him about the gun.
Nah,
like, don't even give him the shoes.
The
just, yeah, I'm kidding. So you're not going to fucking do that.
It was
that shit is fake, bro.
Yeah.
No.
An alleged gun.
I don't think it was a gun, but, you know.
Banana. Dude.
I wasn't trying to find out.
The crazy thing is, and the important thing is that everything that happens in your life really does have a reason. And I know you hate the cliches. I hate them as much as you do. But, like, every terrible thing that happened to you that you can't imagine in the moment has any kind of positive effect on your life. I look at those things, all the bad shit that happened, as like the most important things.
100%.
Like, the victories are fun in the moment. They're cool to celebrate. People give you a pat on the back, but it's those fucking tormenting moments when you got to sit with yourself and figure out what you're really made of that like define the rest of your life. And more than anything else, they prepare you for the next ones. That to me is the most important part of it. It's like finding a way into that warrior mentality so that the next time it comes around, you're trained for it and you have a strategy on how to react.
I always say that too, like, successful people have to have thick skin. Like, you got to be prepared to be said no to. You got to be prepared to be shut down. You got to be prepared to be talked shit about and make mistakes. Like, and anything, you know, it's like betting too. Like, you like, scared money don't make money, more cliches, but it's true. Like, you probably fucked up 20 times before you got that big, you know, that big win or that big hit. And it's just like, that's how I felt back in the day when I was in New York. You know, you got this dice, you got to keep rolling until you hit. So I think that's how it is in life. And if you don't take the risk, it's definitely not going to happen.
Using the dice rolling analogy, you got to keep rolling. I think thick skin is important, but even for people who don't have thick skin, if you keep rolling that dice, and should you lose occasionally, or should people talk shit about you, or you fall short of your goals, that thick skin can get developed, especially in the creative industry or any industry where you're subjecting yourself to opinions of the masses. You don't have to be a hard ass right away, but there's a good chance throughout your journey, you're gonna have to learn how to take feedback and take criticism and develop that thick skin, because it doesn't come natural. Like, no human naturally is subjecting themselves to the opinions of the entire world.
We're not supposed to.
It doesn't make sense. It's not healthy. It's like, it's not
a primal thing to be criticized by thousands of people online every day. But like, I think developing that character trait is good for anyone. Like, if 100%. You if you can move about life unbothered, I love that word, unbothered, you're in a great place.
Well, and we're, and the fucked up thing too is we're in this like space now where, especially in like music, where everything gets boiled down to like a number. Number of streams.
Yeah, number of streams.
Number of units sold.
Number of
and,
likes.
You know what I'm saying? And I remember a time when Jay would drop an album or Nas would drop an album. And yeah, we talked about unit sales back then too. But like my favorite songs were never the mainstream. Mm-hmm. It wasn't Ether. That wasn't my, it was the Stillmatic intro. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, as far as music's concerned, I feel like you gotta always just stay true to, and this is a guess because you're in music, I'm not, but content in general, creative in general, you always gotta really do your best to stay true to yourself. Because somewhere there's somebody out there that wants to hear what you want to fucking 100%. Make, not just what you think is going to drive numbers. You know what I'm saying? Do you feel like that?
100%. And that's difficult to do nowadays.
It's so hard.
Because you're seeing people doing this or doing that or did something for clout and they're like, fuck, they got more fucking views than me.
So
and
hard.
I'm here not doing that, you know? Or like, you know, they're using their relationship to sell a song or whatever. And you're like, damn, well, should I do that too? So it's hard to sometimes like stick to your guns and be like, nah, like I want to do this. Especially in a place where, like, I go online, like, I've recently tried to stop, and it's hard. I've tried to stop, like, reading comments, because it's like, bro, people say so much that, oh, stop the bullying, please. And they're the first ones bullying, you know what I mean? And I'm like, bro, it's so weird. And I see, like, certain fans that I see online, like, I'll go through their timeline, and, like, it'll say, like, stop the bullying, whatever, and like three tweets later, like saying some shit fucked up about somebody or about me or something. So I think the world we live in right now is a very fast-paced, weird thing.
Hypocrites.
And I think you got to focus on yourself, focus on your grind, and really believe in that gut feeling.
Unbothered, man.
Unbothered is a great word. We're going to live life unbothered right now.
Tough, man.
It's so hard.
It's tough. It's really hard. But if you can reach that state and do everything you just said.
And then you're insensitive if you're unbothered, too. Like, if you just... he don't give a fuck, or you know, like, so I think it's a balance. I don't know. Things are getting weird.
Things are getting weird, bro. I mean, besides making music, do you have a plan to get more licenses or do anything else?
Nah.
Like, what are you doing?
I'm working on a new album right now, but back on the music, I think I just finished it and I'm gonna release it probably in the summertime. It's a very personal album, actually. Obviously about relationships and true stories. And besides that, fucking, what have I been doing?
It's funny because you do a lot of stuff, but it sounds like you can't even come up with anything.
No, but then I get home and I got to fucking...
What?
Like, oh, I should have said this, I should have said that. Oh, look, they just reminded me. I'm going to Chile on Monday.
Oh, yeah, nice.
There
we go.
I've been doing The Voice in Chile over there. And
Judging,
yeah, cool. The Voice in Chile over there. Cool. A lot of talent. And then it's just, you know, it's hard because I'm far away. At least I get to grind Call of Duty over there. No.
Yeah, you can't.
How are those Chile servers?
No, everything. No, it's good, actually. It's good. I'm not going to lie. But over there, I posted on Instagram. I got some weird reaction, like some weird. I've never been allergic to anything. I think I had one sip of a green juice and my face was red.
You had to go to the hospital, right?
Had to go to the hospital. My throat got clogged. I was like 5 days in a tub full of baking soda and oatmeal, just burning. But I'm talking about excruciating, burning pain, like fucking my ass, my balls, my back.
Yeah, I can relate to that burning ass
feeling
for sure.
But for real though, my face. So that was weird, but I was pushing through. I did like an award show then, like 4 days after.
With your face swollen?
I was good, but I was still itching, but my face was good.
do you get worried like when that happens somewhere other than home?
Yeah,
like,
100%,
like
yeah.
It's crazy whenever you like have some fucked up health shit going on. And that's like one of the things, like, I know people always talk about this like entertainment industry and shit like that. And they're like, oh, these bougie motherfuckers on jets, this and that. But like, bro, you never had like a health emergency in like a third world country. Not that Chile is, but like, dude, the feeling of being 1,000 miles from home in a country that doesn't speak the same language as you maybe and having to try to figure out that situation. It's like, that's a very unique problem, yeah. dude. It fucking sucks.
And you're like, well, I can't leave. I'm not gonna go back. I got a commitment here. And then you go into pharmacies. They're like, my doctor's like, oh, buy this, buy that. And then, oh, God,
what
this.
The fuck is that?
And then you can't even like, they don't really know like if it's similar or not. So they were like injecting me with a bunch of stuff. Shout out. Let me send with a shout out. Shout out to Chile.
Shout out Chile.
Chile. No, wait, can I take
we
it?
We love you, Chile. We love Chile. But they like, you know, I was scared. Like, you know, you're taking medicine and stuff. Because they're looking at me like, are you talking shit about Chile?
Nah.
Were you in Santiago?
In Santiago.
Fuck
yeah,
dude.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. I love fucking geography.
No,
so
Santiago
much.
Is good.
Chile is mad south, right?
Mad south.
Like,
yeah.
like the southest.
So it's the same time zone as Miami, but just all the way
That's
south
so
you can go.
Weird,
it's like
bro.
Going to Europe, but you're still here. That's
and isn't feels. It reversal
Yeah, so it's
on
winter
seasons,
right now.
Right
yeah.
now.
So I'm going to try to go snowboard and I can snowboard.
Oh my God, because they got crazy mountains there.
Yeah, I'm going to try to go snowboarding when I go.
Is that where the heads are? Carved out of
nah,
stone.
That's,
no.
That's Peru.
Machu Picchu. Peru.
No.
You talking about the
you talking about Easter? Are you talking about Easter Island?
I am not talking about Mount Rushmore.
No, I'm not talking about
Easter Island.
Chile World. Yeah, Easter Island. Yeah. Isn't it?
No, I think that's in like. Look up Easter Island.
Where is Easter Island? I thought you like connect through Chile. I mean, look.
It's
yeah,
be,
yeah, yeah, you
yeah.
fucking do.
I didn't say no. I didn't say no.
So, oh, damn.
Do you want to go see the heads?
That's deep. Like, I mean, that's still deep away from
Chile.
It's still pretty far.
Yeah.
So,
but that counts as Chile? That's part of the country?
I don't know. I think so.
It's just Easter Island. I want to go there. And then have you ever heard of, they have this crazy island called North Sentinel Island. I've been thinking about visiting lately. And
no. But what's there?
It's just some indigenous people that don't really have connection to the outside world and will kill you with bow and arrows
immediately.
Should you approach.
For real?
Yeah. No one's lived besides them, of course.
For real?
Yeah.
What's it called again?
Mike wants to put a 10-10 burger establishment.
I would love it.
He wants the franchise restaurant.
North Sentinel Island.
But for real, for real?
Yeah.
They killed a journalist who was trying to
like,
see
what's
up.
Going on?
Yeah.
No, he was trying to bring Christianity. And they were like, we don't want it. And he came one time. They turned him away. He came back the next time. You know, like when Jehovah's Witnesses come to your door, they knock. You're like, yo, like, go away. I'm making, you know, breakfast right now and listening to bachata, right? And they go away. The next time they come back, imagine if you attacked them with spears and fucking bow and arrows.
Dude,
and they don't have guns over
arrow.
There.
No, guns.
They don't even know what guns are, bro.
Just arrows.
They're still, death bro, they don't even know. They don't even know you. And they don't even know Logan Paul.
They got radio over there?
They might
like,
have
they don't, like,
bachata.
No, they don't have radio.
What's the name of the place again?
North Sentinel Island.
North Sentinel
Island. And the people are called the North Sentinelese.
We could give you a lot of weird facts about a lot of weird things.
But especially that. That's like my main topic because I really do want to go there.
That's my main topic. It's interesting.
I mean, I would want to go there, but I think it's interesting that if they're really living like that civilization without
consuming
technology.
Bro, they're completely disconnected.
It's fascinating. You're obviously super worldly and traveled. Is there somewhere you haven't gone yet that you're...
I already said Japan.
Japan. So I want to go... Well,
you haven't been back? You haven't been...
Haven't been back.
We're trying to talk to the emperor.
Oh, that's right.
No, we're not.
We're not trying to.
Besides that?
Saudi Arabia?
I'd like to go to... I'm in Australia.
Bro.
Like Sydney or something?
Bro, Australia is sick, dude. It's one of my favorite fucking places. I'm not even kidding, dude. I'm dead serious.
I don't know if I think I'm serious or not.
No. On this one, I'm dead serious. Bro, we went to Perth, Sydney, Gold Coast, Melbourne, not Melbourne, by the way, and Brisbane. They call it Bris Vegas. The locals call it Bris Vegas, dude. Australia is sick, dude. They have great food and some of the prettiest women on the planet, especially one.
That's what this was about. The whole Australia thing.
Yeah. So you can get some brownie points with the girl.
Shout out to no, I'm kidding.
No, but it is.
Shout out Zoe.
You know, I like Dubai a lot. I like Dubai a lot when I went, and I wasn't expecting to like it that much.
It's sick. But so is Saudi Arabia. 10-10 burger, Jeddah.
Oh yeah.
Sorry. Head and shoulders.
When you write a song. About a girl, a particular girl, will you like send it to her and be like, "Hey, you inspire me."
Not so much, but I think I did it probably once.
You don't use that as like a If I had your talent and like passion, I mean, I'm madly in love now, damn near married, but I can imagine if I was single and I had your passion, I would wheel using like my songwriting skills.
You know, I don't sing to girls often, actually, now that you mention it.
Who do you usually sing to, guys?
No, I mean, I don't usually sing to my loved one. Like, I don't pull up like, yo, baby, so.
Never?
I don't know, man.
Around the fireplace or anything?
Now that I'm thinking about it, I've never really thought about this.
If I were a girl like, dating you, I would command you to sing or write poetry.
Is it more likely that you're going to be like around a fireplace or like at 11 nightclub? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, what's more, like, okay.
You mean me as a person?
Yeah, yeah.
I'll like, probably end up at 11.
Yeah, yeah. Fucking dog, dude. Yo, speaking of which, this weekend is a pretty good time to
this
go.
This weekend is going to be crowded, man. I don't know. I mean, it's going to be fine.
It's generally a tricky weekend, bro.
It's a tricky weekend.
It's Urban Weekend and Memorial Day weekend in Miami.
Things are going to get
like
ratchet.
Like Gucci Mane. Yeah. Gucci Mane's at.
Things are going to get ratchet.
They're going to get a little ratchet for sure.
You think Miami's ratchet?
No, I love Miami, actually. I've been here most of my life now. I moved here in 2009, way before, you know, like, I think now it's just, like, exploding. But, there's got to be a little ghetto somewhere, you know? I think LA got a little ghetto.
Yeah.
You have a gun?
Do I have a gun?
You don't have to answer that, sir.
I got a gun. I mean, I might see you. What?
The fucking,
they're looking around
the
like,
team's over there like, what?
Like,
yo, let us save this a little bit. When you first sat down, you were like, oh, I don't know what they're going to ask us about. I said you could run the show. What do you want to talk about? Do you want to ask us any fucked up shit? Ask him a weird question about something. He's been drilling you the whole time.
What's the deal with the Pokemon Illustrator and all that?
Yeah,
shit?
That's the question.
Like, what's really going on? What really
that's
happened?
The question.
Did you really pay a cat? What's going on? He's like,
yeah. I was there.
I opened up not the first edition, but I opened up a booster box and maybe 2 years ago.
Sick.
I got a 9 Charizard. I shouldn't have bought the booster
that's
box.
Good.
Base set.
I lost my money, basically.
Yeah, yeah. If you don't get a 10.
If you don't get a 10, you're fucked, basically.
It's crazy. Yeah, Pokemon, I love it. I love it, dude. I mean, if you like video games, that doesn't surprise me. But yeah, I spent $5.3 million on the card. It's crazy.
But, you know, I'm fucking dumb, though. But, like, I had these Pokemon cards in a binder. I left them at my first place that I think my uncle or someone else was living there. And this whole time, I'm talking about for years, I would always mention it, Mom, go look for my Pokemon card. Yeah. And I didn't want to buy them again because I could have sworn that I was going to find my old Pokemon cards back. And literally all this time waited, and then I started fucking buying the cards now that they're, well, they came down a little bit, but I started buying the cards now they're fucking expensive. When I should just bought them off the rip.
Yeah,
if I would have bought them.
You buy high, sell low.
Did you buy at the peak?
No, I started buying. The base box was 14,000. I think it's like 12,000 now.
Yeah,
13,000.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's not that bad. But I didn't buy at the peak.
Everyone thinks, including me, that the cards that they had when they were kids were like...
Yeah, I didn't find them, but they were probably not you.
Don't know about that, Prince Royce. Don't know what happened.
Yeah, everybody's, yo, I had that one. You probably can't even fucking remember.
Yeah, you had shit. All you had was a Diglett. and a level of a PSA 5 Diglett.
PSA 3.
Looking. Well, that's the thing with the grading, these numbers you guys are hearing, PSA 3, PSA 4, like it's 1 through 10, and... If they have the smallest little fragmented indentation, like any little thing, it'll ding it a point. So to find a perfect 10 is like insane. And it's the only thing besides not even the actual card itself. The condition is the most important thing that determines the card's value. And it's hard to get a 10, man.
So do you think that the new certifications for real, though? Like, do you think the new certifications are much harder? Like, the graders are grading harder now than before?
I think
because then they're
I
saying, like,
they
yo, like, fake a 10, but it's really a 9 or whatever.
I totally think that.
Wait, is there a new one besides PSA?
No, like, in recent times, now they're grading them harder.
They have to because...
Now they know it's, like, value.
So many people are submitting their so first off, it's done by humans. So a person sitting here... can change the value of your card from $30,000 to $250,000 with a decision.
Mad corruption.
A couple of the grading companies.
Jack Reese is probably one of the graders, bro.
As far as I know, I think so.
As far as it's only 8, and then he pockets a bunch of capital and splits it with KSI.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can I ask you a question? Why is your hair so long, bro?
I know.
That shit's shooting out the back is fucking crazy, bro. Zoot, turn sideways. Look at this shit, bro. Look, dude, what is you look like a golden retriever, bro?
Just not.
You never did braids or something?
Yeah, you could get cornrows with that.
Yeah, some
take your hat off.
I did it once,
crazy.
And I got accused of cultural appropriation.
Oh, you're right.
Do you feel like that shit's kind of slowing down? I feel like you can kind of do anything again.
I think it's slowing down.
Like, say some
down.
Fucked up shit right now. Who cares?
So, nah, I'm kidding. Somebody in the back is like.
The PR team.
Nah, I'm kidding. I think it's slowed down a little bit, but when people want to fuck with you a little bit, can't. Yeah. No, I saw something recently. Of a makeup artist who was Asian. She did like a really impressive makeup
Kobe?
Thing about Kobe, yeah. And people were saying it was blackface or something, but I mean, I didn't think that initially. I just thought like, oh shit, like that's dope.
It's crazy.
But I think it just depends, you know?
It's crazy how much
like this, should we be mad about that? Is it blackface? Technically she painted her face black.
And like people-
But it's art, it's she turned herself into Kobe.
And everyone, it's so funny too, because everyone in like the offended community too is just like, we actually don't care. We thought the art was beautiful. And there's just a bunch of white people that are like, nah, that's not going to work this time. This is fucked up and you need to be mad about it. They're like, we're not mad, dude. It's this pendulum just swings like this. And right now I feel like it's swinging back in the place of like, yo, we're done with that shit. Like people are going to, they're going to say shit. You might be mad about it. Go on with your fucking life.
Yeah, because there was a time where it's still kind of like cancel culture is still very, is it still like a very
no,
strong thing
slowing,
or not so much?
No, it's slowing. Definitely slowing, slowing down. The fuck down.
It's
slowing down for sure.
Yes and no. Yes and no. If whoever's getting canceled is like beholden to brands or like someone making decisions about what they can do with the platform they're on, like yes. But more and more people are like diversifying. I don't know.
No,
people
but also,
are realizing you put your phone down, you go outside, you're okay. Like,
yeah,
like you'll be
but
right.
Also you're seeing a lot of like the woke brands are now the ones being canceled. So it's like, yeah. So it's like you saw Bud Light, what happened with Bud Light? You saw what happened now with Target, and it's like
something
a lot of these brands that are going like kind of like out of their way to like cater to like a
yeah,
very
like they're
woke
going country. Hard. They're going hard
yeah.
now to cater to certain communities.
Exactly now, and now a lot of people like, and not only just like one side of the aisle or the other are being like, yeah, we're not playing that shit anymore. You know, so it is interesting to watch. But
sorry to drag you into that conversation.
No, it's interesting.
Doesn't have to go anywhere. So anyway, you want to go to 11 now? What? Five what? Five people? Five?
Let's go to 11. 11 is five.
Are you diversifying at all?
Like what?
Like besides just music, you know, sinking your money into stocks, starting business?
Yeah. I think one thing I started relatively recently, like just retirement shit.
Cool.
Saving money.
IRAs.
I think property, real estate is a great one.
Yeah.
It's like one that doesn't. Obviously, everything requires knowledge, right? But it's one that people can do. So I've been messing with that a little bit. Stocks, I like messing with stocks. I do it more as a savings account, just long-term stuff.
You have to.
I got to do some myself, and I got some people that do it for me. And yeah, what else? I bought my first piece of art the other day.
Cool.
What is it?
Can't tell you.
Nice.
No, I don't even know.
He's like, no, I actually don't
let
know.
Me get the. I actually don't know the name. Damn, I need to get the name of the artist. But it's there's only 21 of them. It was number 11, which is my favorite number. I was born on the 11th. I gotta get the art. I just got it last week. I gotta get the artist's name, but I really got it because I saw it like 3 months ago. I went into the gallery to buy a wedding gift actually for a buddy, and then I saw this piece, and I came back like 2 weeks ago, last week, whenever I got delivered this week though, but I didn't buy. It's just like, it's like, I got to show you.
Just tell us how much it cost. Dude.
No, I'm not
going to
say how much it cost.
Wait, why don't you have your phone on you?
It's just, they got it for me. Usually if I do it, like, you know.
Who has it?
Sergio got it. My sister.
I mean,
Sergio.
That's crazy. Just.
See, I'm actually a respectful guy. I don't carry my phone, you know.
How often do you not have your phone on you?
No, I'm not going to lie. I got my phone on me. So I stopped using the Apple Watch because of that. Like, I'd be in the gym. The thing's buzzing. I'm driving, and it's like, I know it's a group chat that nothing important's happening
there.
But I'm still like, let me see what. So I got rid of my Apple Watch, and I'm for real trying to do a better job at, like, I get, like, quick anxiety. Like, I'm very, like, you know, like, I got to check the message. I got to. How did I jump into anxiety from the phone?
Because they're like this, they're connected.
Yeah. So, no, but the art piece, hold on, let me explain the art piece.
Yeah.
It's like a metal bar. It's more of a sculpture. It's a metal bar. It has it's a messed up horse. It's called levitating horse or something horse. But the horse looks like nothing. But if you look closer, the reflection, it's a perfect white horse on the reflection of the.
That's what I want to see. I really want to see it. I like art.
Where is Sergio?
Sergio.
Sergio.
Let's get him. It's called the Sending Horse.
Sergio, where is the Sending Horse?
We want to see
my phone real quick, please. Like, I gotta see if I even have the video though. While you
look it up, I'm gonna say something that is just like a thought I'm having. It's good to hear that you're diversifying because, like you said at the beginning of this interview, a lot of times with artists and musicians, the fame comes before the real money, mm-hmm. and so you can get kind of sidetracked when you do end up making real money buying the bullshit. But then eventually you have to realize, like, okay, my career does and will have a lifespan just like everything. 100%. And you got to be smart with your money. So it's good to hear. I mean, if that art's a store of value, it's a great place to put it.
Yeah, no, let's check it out. Then I'll talk about that because I think we'll get to that.
Yeah. Wait, what? What am I looking? Oh, that's sick.
Oh my God. It's like an optical illusion.
Oh, cool.
Oh, that's fire.
Yo, there was no way you were going to explain this. You can't. I'm trying to explain it.
Oh, so there's a metal bar.
Can we show it? Here, just show that camera. How would you explain it? It's a elongated horse that's bent around a pole, but when the reflection is in the pole, the horse is in perfect proportion. It's really cool. Yeah, cool. No, there's no way. Trying to explain that was hard. But yeah, bro, I'm glad you're here.
So back on that, I think when you're coming up, when you first make money, you're thinking cars, you're thinking this. And I think when I hit about 30, late 20s.
Horses.
I started realizing, let's buy expensive motherfucking horses. but for real, like, you know, when they're not teaching you in school about like stock or saving money or I don't know, like, you know, like, retirement funds or CDs and stuff.
For sure.
So at like late 20s, I remember, well, I'll tell you two stories here. So I remember buying my first Porsche when I was like 21. And then I had it for, that was my dream car, like a Carrera S Porsche. Porsche. So then I traded, like 2 years after, I traded that car for an older Ferrari because it was like, oh, I got to step it up. I'm seeing the Ferrari. And that's what I'm saying. You get caught up with what you see. Then I trade that Ferrari for another Ferrari. Then I trade that Ferrari for a McLaren, which I still have, a 720 McLaren.
Nice.
So then I had three Range Rovers and a Rolls Royce. So then by late 20s, I'm like, bro, I've had like 9 cars. I got like 2 cars right now. So it's like I'm losing when I'm buying it. I'm losing it when I'm trading it. And I'm losing when I'm buying again. I said, bro, I'm not selling shit no more. I'm not selling nothing. I'd rather let that shit depreciate in the garage. So like then I started kind of like, you know, waking up and being like, yo, I should start like saving money and whatever and buying property and renting property and you know, like stuff like that or stock or whatever. Or like even like, you know, like even like crypto and stuff, you know, at the end of the day, like whether it's up or down or not, it's taking the risk and doing something and just actively, I'm actively looking for like things I can get into, businesses or ways to put the money away, not keep it in the bank. You know, I think it's, you know, we usually like, you know, we're saving money, keeping it in the bank. And we get afraid usually to like, you know, buy a property. So, or like do something or like calling up, see what that loan's about or that business loan. And we're always afraid. And I think especially in the hood and I think like where I'm from, that it's always the mentality like of protect. Being afraid of like, oh, but what if I lose the money? And so I think I just started taking more risks, I would say, business-wise, money-wise. And obviously I've lost and I've won. And I think that, yeah, I think moving forward the next 10 years for me, obviously I wanted to keep doing music and I want to keep doing that. But I just think like putting money away for a rainy day is important in general in anything.
For sure. Yeah, you just got to win more than you lose.
Amen.
Easier said than done.
I've gotten fucked with NFTs. I want to talk. Let's talk about the losses.
Join the club, man.
Nah, it's all good. I think like if you're not in it, you know.
Yeah, but well, shit, dude, this has been great.
Oh wait, so back to the Porsche. This is the last one. See, now I'm getting open. Nah.
Yeah.
So for years, I felt bad for selling the Porsche because I was like, yo, like. That was my dream car, you know? When I was a dream car, when I was a kid, I was like 12 years old. That was always like my car, my wallpaper on a Windows computer, Windows 98 PC. Shout out. No, I'm kidding. So, and I was like, damn, like I traded it for like an older Ferrari at the time just because I was like on that hype shit of like, oh, because see, like now I'm not like that. Now I'm like, bro, I don't care if you got a bigger chain than me or whatever. I don't give a fuck. Like now I don't let that affect me. But I always felt bad about that Porsche because it was custom made. I remember I used to live up in Delray Beach, West Palm Beach. I was always driving that car. And I always thought of that car. Like whenever I would, and so I got cousins that work at a dealership, of course. I got cousins in that work at a dealership. And I would always track this car. And I saw that it was in New York and Long Island. I was tracking this car. And then during COVID, I was like, damn, I wonder what the car's up to right now.
What do you mean what the car's up to? No, what do you think he's doing shooting the car?
I was always stalking the car with the VIN number. So my cousin's like, yo, they sold the car. The car is in Texas right now. And I'm like, I got to buy the car, bro. I call up the Texas dealer. Oh, I'm looking for this car. Send me a video. They send me a video. It's the car. So I bought the car back. It only had that one owner, so two owners. I go back to the DMV. They're like, you own this? I'm like, yeah, the owner is back in the owner. but I got the car back. Looks like exactly how I left it. I even had like a cop sensor. You know those little cop sensor things you put on it? Even that was still there. And I don't know. I think like for me, that was like a full circle. Like, you know, there's things like when before you make money or you have certain dreams. And it's kind of like we said, like sometimes you always want to beat that last thing or be more superior than what you had. And sometimes you forget like what you've accomplished too. Mm. So I think like in recent times, I'm also like, yeah, obviously you want to keep breaking records. You want to be bigger. But you also got to remember like, damn, I've done a lot of good shit. Or damn, I've done well for myself. Because we're always so hard on ourselves, especially when you want to be more successful, especially in this industry, I think. And I think getting that car back was like, I don't know, at least it was
like a metaphorical like pat on the back.
Yeah, it was a beautiful thing for me. And I was like, damn, I can't believe it's back. And I'm actually driving the car today. And I'm actually driving that car more than like the McLaren or other cars. I'm like, damn, this is kind of comfortable.
Yeah.
My 2013 Porsche.
Sick, dude.
Yeah,
sick,
so that's a good
last note, dude. People zoom out on where you came from and all that you've accomplished. Yeah, I think that's a great fucking note.
I think from time to time, give yourself the kudos, you know, let yourself know like, damn, you know what, I'm proud of myself and what I've done and your peers too. I think it's important to let your peers know you're proud of them for things. And I think like back, I'm extending. And like back in the day, for example, I don't know, I would just take things more for granted. Like I wouldn't take photos, I wouldn't this, I wouldn't that. And then then I would look back and say, damn, we didn't take photos that day. Mm. And I tell my boys all the time, like, bro, we don't take enough photos, like just like group pictures, like regular shit, you know? And like, you don't have those memories. And I think like recently I'm just like, you know, I'm chilling, I'm blessed, I'm grateful. And I'm like trying to really stay positive and in that zone so I can stay motivated as well.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Good, man. Good.
Moral of the story is let's go back to Japan. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding, guys.
We will be back.
This has been great.
We can, you know, see where we come from and how long we've, you know, how we got here.
Hey, that's hilarious. Yo, that's funny. Well, dude, hey, thanks for joining us, bro.
Thank you guys.
Yeah, this was phenomenal. You're in a really great place and you've achieved so much. And if you ever want to spend $6 million on an illustrator, you know where to come.
I don't think I'll take it there. You know, I'm cool with my little $3,000-$4,000 cards.
There
right
we go.
Now. I'm good.
There we go. Prince Royce, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, appreciate y'all.
Thank you guys for listening to this episode of Impulsive. We love you. Hit that subscribe button. We'll see you next time. Take it easy. Peace.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.